What do you think about this privilege we have of prayer? Much in which the Word of God teaches us about prayer, what we should pray for, how we should pray, and all of the things regarding it. Beloved, it is a tremendous blessing from God. It's a tremendous privilege, the access that we have, the boldness that we have through prayer. And of course, we know why we have such access. It's because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. The blood sprinkled mercy seat. Let's take our Bibles. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5, please. 1 John chapter number 5. We come in our study to verse 14. 1 John 5, verse 14. As the Lord leads over the next few weeks, couple of weeks, not sure exactly how long yet, still praying. We are going to talk about the super privilege of prayer. We're going to talk about the supreme importance of prayer. We're going to talk about several aspects and examples of prayer, asking some simple basic questions of how should we pray, what does the Word of God have to say concerning that, what should we pray for, what should we not pray for. There are examples in the Word of God that we should not pray for such things. In fact, we have that even in the 5th chapter of 1 John, some things that we hope to get to over, again, as God enables us over some time. And it's just some, certainly not every example in Scripture. We could spend a long time on this study for sure, but see some examples in Scripture concerning prayer and trust that God would use it in our hearts and in our lives ultimately for His glory, but that we would learn more how to pray as we should, that we would be faithful in the admonition that we all have, that we're to pray without ceasing. And we certainly don't want to ask amiss. So 1 John chapter 5, again, don't lose sight of the context. What has John been telling us in this portion of this letter under inspiration? Talking about this victory that we have in Christ. Remember back all the way in verse number 4, he says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this victory that overcometh the world, even our," "this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Verse 5, "Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" And so Jesus Christ wants his children, his disciples, to live in the abundance of him. He wants us to experience the abundant life. That's his will. And so the only way we can do that, we know, is if we abide in him. And a key aspect of that fellowship and that relationship and that experiencing the victory in a practical sense is having a proper prayer life. None of us have a perfect prayer life. We realize that. We all fall short. But, beloved, I trust we're growing ever more dependent upon him. In fact, that's what happens. The further we grow in Christ, the more we decrease, the more he increases. And the more dependent we are on the Lord and not on ourselves. So, again, may we ever be sensitive. So the ultimate purpose or theme is, again, that the Lord would do what he's doing through this letter, and that is wanting his children to experience that sweet fellowship, that sweet victory that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. So with that said, verse 14 of the 5th chapter of 1 John says, "And this is the confidence." Look at that word in just a moment. In fact, John has used this word three other times. "And this is the confidence," just in this letter, just in this first epistle. "And this is the confidence that we have in him," and of course it's in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, "that if we ask anything according to his will," he what? "He heareth us." Verse 15. "And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." Now, it's not praying selfishly. Another area that we'll look at is the examples in Scripture, what hinders our prayer life. And there are several. There are several stated verses in God's Word where the Lord plainly states to us, this will hinder your prayer life. And so, again, part of our growing, not just looking at the positives, but the negatives too. And so, again, we read in verse 15 one more time, and if we know that he hear us, we whatsoever we ask, we know that we shall receive the petitions that we desired of him. And so we thank God We thank God indeed for this access, this sweet access. Before we get to back in verse number 14 to the word confidence, let's look at the supreme, let's look at an example in Scripture of the supreme importance of prayer. Let's go all the way back to the book of Acts, please. Acts chapter number 6. One of the few points that in our adult Bible school class, as we're looking at on our third basic point, we're looking at some of the examples of how the preacher is to be blameless in his preaching ministry, in the ministry that Christ has given him and entrusted to him. And one of the things that we have not discussed at a great length yet, but we'll look at Lord willing this Sunday, is the importance of prayer. And so we see an example of it here, Acts chapter 6. Now, there was a situation, there was a true dire need in this church family at Jerusalem, this young church. And we read in verse 1 of chapter 6, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, and so God had tremendously increased their number, it says there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Now, if this was a vain need, if this was just somebody trying to look for a handout, and if it was unscriptural, we realize that God would not have honored such a request. We know that there are examples in Scripture where even Christ did not always give people food. Such an example of that is John chapter 6, where he turned away those who were desiring a meal from him. The ones that he had already fed miraculously, the 5,000 men plus all the women and children that were present, just a short time later, some of those folks seek him, and he tells them before they even ask a question, he said, "You're seeking me so that, in essence, you can be filled, so that you can receive food. But you need to have a greater desire." And of course, they came to show that they weren't true disciples. So we realize that. But here we have a genuine need. We have a genuine lacking here in the body in that sense. Verse 2. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples. Notice that the 12 were involved. The leadership here of the church, and this, of course, are the apostles, they certainly did not neglect or just say, "This doesn't interest me, go tell somebody else about it." No, they were certainly involved. Clearly, verse 2, it says, "Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason." Notice, though, they understood their priority. And we're going to see here on our point the importance of prayer. It says, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." And so, instead of them taking time away from their responsibility in the body of Christ as apostles, they said, "We're going to appoint certain individuals, in this case seven men, who will be able to come through," or I should say more specifically, serve and minister to help those in this need, here the widows. And so then, after giving the instructions to the body, you have an example here of how the people looked out for these seven men. Another thing we'll get to in the adult Bible school class, perhaps next Sunday, if we finish up with the bishop this Sunday, then will be the qualifications of deacons. And here you have the first really example of deacons in the body of Christ. Verse number 4. We will give ourselves continually to what? To prayer. What comes first? Prayer. They didn't say we will give ourselves continually to evangelism, though they did. That's not what they mentioned first. They didn't say we will give ourselves continually to the study of God's word, though they're going to mention the ministry of the word. That's important. But they will give themselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Beloved, I certainly do not believe that it was by accident that prayer was mentioned first. But yet, how many times in our lives is prayer not first? we go through the day. We have things that we have to do, things we know to do. We know scripturally how to do them properly. We know the importance of reading God's Word. And so perhaps we spend time in the Word of God, but when it comes to prayer, it's very little. It's very little. I mean, really, how many times a day, how much of the day are we on our knees? How much of the day are we going through the day in the spirit of prayer and the attitude of prayer, dependent upon Him, not ourselves, but, again, dependent on the Lord in prayer? It's of supreme importance, obviously. Let's go ahead and look at this word confidence. Let's go back to 1 John, please. 1 John. And so we see in verse number 14 of 1 John chapter 5, this is the confidence that we have in Him. You know, you think about what was immediately mentioned. John says that God wants us to know, because it's His witness, it's His record, He wants us to know that we have eternal life. We have the gift of eternal life. And now He says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask. And so we see the subject of prayer, communication with God. But we have, again, this confidence, and we know that this confidence is in Him. But we have it. It's something that we have as Christians. We have it on the very basis of Christ, our relationship with Christ, the fact that we've been blood-bought, that we've been born again, accepted in the Beloved. We have this sweet access. Again, we'll get to, like I've said, some situations where we do not avail ourselves to it, and where we hinder our prayer lives because of certain things. But we have this sweet access, and here we have this confidence. This word confidence comes from a compound Greek word that means all speech or all words. You think about that. If somebody's embarrassed, if somebody's shy, if somebody lacks confidence, if somebody lacks assurance, then how are they going to carry themselves? What kind of attitude are they going to have? How is their communication going to be effective and proper? Now, when you talk about having confidence with God, God Almighty, the Almighty God, Creator, Jehovah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the fact that we have confidence with Him is an amazing thing, but He's made it so that we do. And God wants us to know that we have this confidence, that we're to have this confidence, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Now, we can also, in our lives as Christians, we can hinder and we can affect this confidence. And so let's look at just the way John has used this one Greek word in this first letter, just quickly. Let's go back to, let's work our way backwards. Go back to chapter 3, please. 1 John chapter 3, look at verse 21. We find it here. 1 John 3, verse 21. Now, it's in the context of prayer. In 1 John 5, here this word is going to be used in a different set, a different context. But it's the same word, and we find it again in verse 21. It says, Beloved, if our heart condemn us, I'm sorry, Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. You see, Christians can have their hearts condemn them. Look back at verse 20. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. And we thank God for that. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Confidence toward God. You think about, again, a believer. You think about one who has been born again. We have the record of God, that we have eternal life. If we leave this earth and death of the time when we do die, are we worried? Are we concerned about where we're going to spend eternity? Death is a promotion. Death is a great gain. Death is a great advantage. And so death has lost its sting. The grave no longer has victory over us, because we have that victory in Jesus Christ. And so, beloved, we have great confidence, not in self, but in Him, in the Lord. And so, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Go back to chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Look at verse 28. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28 says, Now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And so here the context is the rapture of the body. That when he appears, that we may have confidence. Why wouldn't we have confidence if we don't abide in him? Again, verse 28, now little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. You see, the fact is, when Christ raptures the body, not every believer is going to have this confidence. Some Christians will actually be ashamed. If it wasn't possible, it wouldn't have been said. In fact, if it's not possible for believers to sin, why is there so much instruction in the area, like we talked about Sunday morning, of practical sanctification? Why is there so much instruction on believers putting off the old man and putting on the new, abiding in Christ, walking in the Spirit? Why even have all of those instructions if that wasn't possible? Of course, that's silly. We know that's possible. We know we still have sin. We know we still have this old nature. We know that we have this battle that's raging within us between the spirit and the flesh. And yes, the Word of God says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But thank God for the victory that we have. Here we see the word confidence used in the light of the appearance of Christ. And beloved, we can have this confidence. We can have this assurance, this boldness, when we see him face to face. But it's only as we abide in him. It's not going to be in our own power, in our own might. Did we look at chapter 3, verse 21? We did. Let's go to chapter 4. Chapter 4. And verse 17. We have the third cross-reference where we find this word. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now here, how is the word translated? Boldness. Boldness. Exactly. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. And what day of judgment is that? What day of judgment is John referring to? That's right, the bema seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ. He's talking to Christians. And so this is the wonderful product, or the wonderful result of God perfecting his love in us. He's conforming us more to the image of Christ. And herein is our love made perfect. And we have here a purpose clause, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. And then we have the next verse, or the next phrase of the verse, because as he is, so are we in this world. Many months ago, we spent some time in that section. But we see the word there. John wasn't the only one to use this word. Let's go back again, this time to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4. So we see it used in reference to prayer, which is what we're going to look at here over the next couple of weeks or so. And then we have seen it used in reference to our fellowship with God, or lack thereof. We find it used in reference to the return of Christ. And now we're going to find it used in reference to preaching, the preaching of the Word of God. So Acts chapter 4. Let me get there. Acts 4. Look at verse 13. Acts 4:13. It says, Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And there's our word, boldness. Boldness. That boldness was not because of them. We know that. It wasn't because of Peter and John. In fact, the same two believers, just some many days earlier, saved men when they faced the prospect and the persecution, the potential persecution of being identified with Christ when he was being afflicted, when Christ was being punished, when Christ was on trial after he had been arrested, they had opportunity to stand with him, didn't they? The disciples had every opportunity to stand faithfully with the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible says that they all forsook him. Peter said, "I'll never forsake you, Lord." These other guys, they might, but not me. "I'll die with thee." But Peter is the one who denied him three times. He's the one who denied him three times. Christ told him, of course, that that's what he was going to do. But Peter, in the pride of his heart, obviously did not believe what Christ was telling him, though he was a believer. And so Peter, what happened? Because he was relying upon himself, what happened to that confidence? What happened to that boldness? It was not there. It was not there. And the same is true with you and with me. We know that's true. We've experienced that, unfortunately, too many times. Because we're relying upon self, and the boldness of the Lord is not there. We actually try to take the situation in our own hands and handle it. How does that work? By experience. It doesn't. It never does. And perhaps there are some of you that are trying to handle a situation like that now, and you've deceived yourselves to think that you're actually able. And you can even, we can even trick our own minds and our own hearts to think that we're doing the will of God when we're actually self-reliant. We're actually proud. And we're actually arrogant instead of humbly trusting the Lord. So we see it, verse 13. Peter and John, they had boldness. They had boldness because they were in sweet fellowship with Christ. They were abiding in Christ. They were in the will of God. And so, notice, even those who did not know Christ, they could see that these two men, they were acting like Jesus. Oh, they didn't believe in Jesus, the Sanhedrin. They rejected Christ. And so they were going to, and they did, they would persecute them and release them, and then later they would take all the apostles and persecute them and then eventually release them. But what a blessing. Child of God, by God's grace, do others in Orlando, Florida, those in your neighborhood, those even relatives who know not Christ, can they tell that you have been with Jesus? Can they see the fruit of that Spirit-filled, Spirit-enabled boldness, confidence in your life when you pray? When you preach. And that's what these men were doing. They were preaching. When you live for Christ. Same chapter. We see this word again. Look at verse 29. Acts chapter 4, verse 29. It says, now this, we almost got to pick up the context here. Peter and John were arrested. They were on trial before the Sanhedrin. They were beaten and they were released. And then it says, let's see here. Verse 29, it says, "And now, Lord," this is the prayer of the church. Let's back up. Verse 23, let's go back to verse 23. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. Sorry about the delay there. It says, "And being let go," this is Peter and John, "they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them." And so they let the people at Jerusalem, the believers, the saints at Jerusalem, know what had happened. And so what happens to, or what does the church family do? They pray. What are we going to do by the grace of God in a few minutes? We're going to pray. I trust pray of one accord, pray in the Spirit, pray properly. Verse 24 says, "And when they heard that," what do? They lifted up their voice to God with one accord. They didn't go and complain. They didn't lose control. They didn't come apart. They went to the Lord in prayer. Peter and John shared what was going on, and the church family prayed. And notice what they said. They said, "Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea, and all that in them is." Verse 25, "Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things?" Verse 26, "The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever, not their will, but whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Now, beloved, that's confidence in the Lord. That is confidence that God is in complete control. There's nothing in this life that can take God by surprise. Nothing. Not one thing. Am I worried about Donnie's surgery tomorrow morning? I'm not. That's really early. They're going to be there at 5:30. That's crazy. But I'm not worried. I'm not worried. Am I worried about what's happening to my mother right now? I'm really not. By God's grace, I could be if I dwell upon it in the wrong way. But she's in God's hands. And so I don't have to worry. And beloved, we don't have to worry about what's going on because God is in control. We can trust Him. And this is not because of us, because we're so super spiritual. It's because of the confidence that we have in Him. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. It's the confidence that He gives us. We see here the confidence that these had. And now notice their prayer. Okay, now they had just reported, Peter and John had just reported that the Sanhedrin had beaten their two of their apostles, their disciples. You're talking about Peter and John. And so, notice what they asked next. Verse number 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that they will be delivered from future pain, that they will be delivered from more trouble and persecutions, and I mean, just take care of them. They don't need that. No, they didn't pray that, and I'm glad they didn't pray that. They prayed that with all boldness they may speak thy word. They prayed that they will continue speaking the word of God. You see, beloved, prayer originates in heaven, and this was a spirit-filled prayer, and we do not know how to pray as we ought. We do not know what to pray for as we should always. We know that, but thank God for the way that God Almighty intercedes in prayer. The Holy Spirit is interceding in prayer. Romans chapter 8. The Lord Jesus Christ is interceding in prayer. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's our mediator. Jesus Christ is the mediator, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And He's an intercessor too. And so we read in verse 30, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Of course, we realize that this was in the early days of the church, and opportunity, genuine, bona fide opportunity, was still given another chance of 40 years for Israel to repent because of whose prayer? Because of Christ's prayer. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they had another opportunity, Israel did, that generation specifically, to repent and to believe Jesus Christ, that He was the Messiah, that He was the Son of God. And so, with that said, the signs of Christ followed upon the apostles. Apostolic signs and miracles were done to demonstrate that Jesus of Nazareth was indeed the Son of God, the Messiah, and that people needed to place their faith and trust in Him. No vision, by the way, ever saved a person. You know that, right? No dream ever brought salvation to somebody. It's always the Word of God, the words of God that brought salvation to people. It's an interesting study. So because in various times God worked in particular manners and using dreams, visions, or in this case, sign miracles, that's not the norm, number one, throughout human history. And there was always a purpose for God doing that. But that purpose is no longer in our day needed. We realize that. Eventually Israel would reject and would, as a whole, the nation would turn its back again on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God had to set and did set Israel aside. Not permanently, but temporarily. We know that one day all Israel will be saved when specifically that one-third remnant of Jews will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have here, verse 31. What had they prayed for that the apostles had? Boldness. boldness, confidence. Verse 31. And when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. You talk about a quick answer to prayer. And we see throughout Acts they continue by God's grace to do that. Let's go to chapter 28. We see the word here. Acts chapter 28. Acts 28. Verse 30. It says, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him. Verse 31. Preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. With all what? With all confidence. With all boldness. With all confidence. Same Greek word. With all boldness. With all confidence. No man forbidding him. And so, just a wonderful demonstration of God's faithfulness and this confidence. So we've seen confidence in prayer. We'll see a lot more of that, Lord willing, over the next few weeks. We've seen confidence just in the Christian life as we abide in Him. And we see here certainly confidence in evangelism, confidence in preaching. Let's go to another reference. Go to Ephesians this time, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Young people, what do we have in Ephesians chapter 6? When I say Ephesians chapter 6, what might come to your mind? The armor of God. And that's what we have here in Ephesians chapter 6. I'm not going to read the whole passage, but that's the theme here, the latter part of the chapter. But look at verse 18. This is part of the instructions concerning putting on the whole armor of God. Again, the importance of prayer. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then Paul says, I have a request of you to pray for me. Verse 19, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And there you have a couple references of boldly. And so Paul understood the necessity of prayer and the fact that he needed people to pray for him. One thing I hope to see in the course of the study is that prayer does change things. Do you know that there are some Christians, that professing Christians, that actually teach that prayer doesn't change things? That's contrary to Scripture. You wonder, what book are they even looking at? You wonder, what are they experiencing in their life? And that's sad. But some actually do believe that prayer doesn't actually change things. But prayer does change things. And we'll see examples of that. Let's go to one other. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And we see in verse number 16. We see the word here again. Confidence. Verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. And by the way, there's our word. Confidence. Boldly. Boldness. Let us therefore come boldly. By the way, this word is translated other ways in the King James. It's translated openly. It's translated a few other ways. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And so there we see it used again in prayer. So we've seen just a sprinkling of examples of how this word confidence is used in Scripture. But beloved, what a tremendous joy. And so as we focus in on specifically to the topic of prayer, I do not want us to lose sight of this confidence that we have in Him. And that's who the confidence is in. It's not in our ability, it's in Him. It's in what Christ has accomplished. It's in the blood-sprinkled mercy seat. Just in closing, I'm going to read off a few things that we hope to cover, some examples in Scripture. When you think of what things to pray for, you have several examples in Scripture. You have, we're supposed to pray for the government. Do you know where in the Bible it says to pray for the government? Well, we'll look at that. We see examples in Scripture where we're to pray for men to be saved. We're to pray for Christians in general and specifically concerning their daily needs. We see how believers pray in regards to sickness and other situations, other problems. We're to pray for wisdom. We're to pray for other things, for strength and for mercy. We just saw that in Hebrews chapter 4, that God would give us grace and mercy to help in the time of need. We're going to look at some aspects of prayer as to whom are we to pray and through whom are we to pray. Of course, we know it's to pray through Jesus Christ, to pray to the Father. The fact that it's supposed to be consistently, persistently, regularly, what the difference is between petitions and supplications and so forth. But you know one thing we'll see, and this is vital too, the submission to God's will. Being submissive to God in our prayer. And not after, not before, not only after, but before, during, after, to constantly be persistent and to constantly be submissive to the will of God. Again, we're to pray according to His will. It's for His best, it's for His glory, and it's always for our good. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we are thankful, Lord, for the time in Your Word and just these this overview, really, of the study. And Lord, as we looked at specifically some examples in Scripture to the boldness, to the assurance that You give us, Your children, Lord, it's tremendous. It's amazing. We thank You, Father, for Your amazing grace. We thank You for Your amazing love. And Father, for so great a salvation because of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We think of this intimate relationship that we have, that we can communicate with Almighty God. We thank You, Lord, for that. And the fact that You call us friends, Lord, You talk about, again, the grace of God and the way that You're making us into trophies of grace and just what You've accomplished, Lord. We just thank You so much. We love You because You first loved us. We pray for the time now as we continue in prayer that Christ would be exalted. We pray it in His precious name. Amen. Any items of